الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to a beautiful new program and inshallah ta'ala in this program we are going to cover those verses wherein Allah Azza wa Jal has beautifully addressed the believers. Alhamdulillah. And he has addressed them using the words, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, all those who believed. Now, in regards to these verses, the ulama state that there are 89 such verses wherein this divine address is given to the believers. Now the first verse that we are going to cover in this program of ours is verse 104 of Surah Baqarah. Let's listen to the recitation followed by the translation.
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la taqulu ra'ina wa qulu dhurna wasma'u wa lil kafirina 'adhabun aleem.
The translation is, O those who believed, do not say Ra'ina and instead say Unzurna, meaning place a glance of mercy upon us. Walil kafirina adhabun aleem, and for the disbelievers is a painful punishment. Now, inshallah, we're going to discuss and analyze this verse. Now, to begin with, the first part of the verse, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, a great mufassir, a great mutakallim, a great scholar of this ummah. He has a renowned tafsir called Mafatihul Ghaib, famously known as Tafsir Kabir. And Imam Razi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he writes regarding this particular address to the believers, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. He says that in this address, Allah Azza wa Jal is referring to the believers using a sifa which is his own as well. Meaning amanu, those who believed, and amanu comes from aman, and one word is mu'min, believer. And when we look at the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we look at the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-asma'ul husna, then we realize that one name of Allah azza wa jal is al-mu'min. This is his sifat as well. So he is al-mu'min and we are al-mu'min. We are believers as well. What do we learn? That there are certain names, certain words which we can use to refer to the Creator, Allah Azza wa Jal, and the creation, meaning simultaneously. But it's important to note here that when using the word mu'min to refer to Allah, as Allah Azza wa Jal himself has done in Surah Hashr, Al-Malikul Quddus Salamul Mu'min, then the meaning there is different to how it would be used for us. Allah is al-mu'min in the sense that he is the one who grants iman to others, grants safety to others. And when mu'min is used for us, it means the one who embraced faith in Allah Azza wa Jalla, the one who is a believer, the one who has gained safety by believing in Allah Azza wa Jalla. So the meaning will be different. And this is always the case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlike his creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is independent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his attributes, no one gave him these attributes. The believers, we were granted our attributes by Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is important to note. Secondly, in this address, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, what we learn is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is majestic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Aziz, the dominant one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Qahhar, Jabbar. And his rank and status over creation is beyond comprehension. Who are we before Malikul Amlak, the king of all kings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There's no comparison whatsoever. We are weak, humble, lowly beings before Allah azza wa jal. Yet, despite this being the case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercifully addresses the believers. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Oh, those who believed, meaning those who believed in me. And that comforts us. That fills our heart with joy and delight that our Creator, He has used this address for us when He is the Almighty. The ulama say what we learn from this is that in our worldly life, when we are ever in such a position as well, that we have subordinates, we have people who we are responsible for, we should treat them in the same merciful and compassionate way. Taking from this verse, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercifully addresses the believers. He's compassionate towards them in this address. We too should follow this way. Meaning an employer at work, he should treat his employees in a merciful way. He should be affectionate towards them, compassionate towards them. Similarly, parents, mother and father, they are guardians over their children. They should be kind to them, polite to them, merciful to them. And it should never be the case that in any given situation where we have authority over another, that we are considering that person as inferior. We are belittling that person. We are speaking to them, looking at them with disdain. This should never be the case. Look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the King of all kings. He doesn't need our worship. He didn't need to create us. Nothing is wajib upon Allah azza wa jal. Yet He addresses us like this. Oh, those who believed, how merciful. And we too should show the creation mercy as well if we're in a position of authority. Imam Razi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi also mentions another point. Subhanallah, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful to us in this address in the world. The Quran is a scripture that was revealed in the world. We are believers in the world. Alamud dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing us in this merciful way, compassionate way. That inshallah we have husnul dhan billah. We have a positive assumption regarding our Lord Allah Azza wa Jal, that He will also show us mercy in the hereafter. Allahu Akbar. Just as He is showing us mercy here by calling us believers, inshallah in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be merciful to us as well. Inshallah ta'ala. Now let us move on to the next part of the verse. La taqulu ra'ina. That do not say ra'ina. And let me give you a bit of background, mention the context. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, those blessed, fortunate individuals who lived at the time of the beloved alayhi salam, they used to attend his court, they used to attend his lessons, he would teach them, instruct them, advise them. But it sometimes happened that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was teaching the Sahaba, instructing them, some of them did not comprehend what the Prophet alayhi salam was saying the first time. And they would say, Ra'ina. That Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, accommodate us, meaning be mindful of our situation that we're not able to understand the first time. Be kind towards us. So this term Ra'ina was used in these meanings. That Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, repeat what you have just said so that we're able to easily comprehend it. But this term Ra'ina, although it had a positive implication, in the language of the Jews, the Hebrew language, it had a negative connotation. The implication was negative. It was an offensive term. And when the Jews found out that the Sahaba, they addressed the beloved alayhi salam using the word Ra'ina, they began to say it also. But they began to say it in a mocking way, mockingly, out of jest. And this infuriated the Sahaba, and especially one Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala an, regarding whom it is mentioned that he was well versed in the Jewish language, and he realized that the Jews are offending the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying this term. It's like we know that on another occasion they would say Assalamu alaikum ma'adallah to the believers when addressing them, meaning death upon you. So they would do these things. It was their habit of disrespecting and offending the believers, the Muslims at the time. And here, a term that the Sahaba are using, the Yahud are using it in a negative way. And the Sahaba could not tolerate this. So this Sahabi went to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he complained. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some Sahaba use the term Ra'ina, and although they use it in a positive sense, in the language of the Jews, it's an offensive term. And that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse, showing the etiquette of the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah azza wa jal is showing how to speak in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, La taqulu ra'ina. Allah azza wa jal said, do not use the word, do not say the word ra'ina. Instead, waqul unzurna, say unzurna. And unzurna, meaning place a glance of mercy upon us, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not only that, Allah azza wa jal further says, wasma'u. Meaning, if you're ever in a situation where you can't comprehend the first time, then say unzurna. But what is awla, what is better is wasma'u, you listen attentively the first time. You don't even trouble the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying unzurna. or ra'ina, as you used to say before. Meaning, listen attentively the first time so you don't even have to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to repeat himself. Allahu Akbar. Allah Azza wa Jalla is showing great regard for his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He desires, he wills the comfort, the ease of his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we learn that a word which is zumana, it has two meanings, dual meanings, one good, one bad. You cannot use such a word in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even if you intend the positive word, meaning the positive meaning, the good meaning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us this. Ra'ina, although the Sahaba used it most definitely in a positive sense, the Yahud, the Jews, they would take the negative meaning which was found in their language. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited this. You can't use ra'ina from now on. Use unzurna, Allahu Akbar. And this is what I want to focus upon. The adab, etiquette, the reverence that needs to be shown, the honor and respect that needs to be shown to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is essential for a believer. Without this, his iman cannot stay intact. And we must be very respectful. Our reverence towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is most important. And when we study the Quran, when we study the divine word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we learn that Allah azza wa jalla not only mentions how we should address the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, he also shows us how to sit in the court of the Prophet alayhi wa sallam. He instructs the believers how to call out to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he himself, using his own example, has told us as well. Let us explain. In the Quran, from Surah Fatiha to Surah An-Nas, when Allah Azza wa Jal directly addresses any Prophet, calls out to him using harful nida, ya, in Arabic, ya, is translated as oh. He always mentions the Prophet's name, meaning ya Isa, ya Musa, ya Nuh, ya Ibrahim, and so on. But never will you find in the Quran anywhere that Allah Azza wa Jal has said ya Muhammad. You will never find this. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us how to even call out to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that we should follow his example, divine example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses beautiful titles. Ya ayyuhal rasul, ya ayyuhal muzzammil, ya ayyuhal nabi, ya ayyuhal muddathir, waghaira waghaira. Throughout the Quran you will never find the direct name of the Prophet alayhi wa sallam used after ya. All these beautiful titles. And in another verse of the Quran, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم بعضا. That do not make the calling towards the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam like one of you calling each other. Meaning when you refer to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when you address him, don't call him by name. For example, if I were to call my friend, I would say, Ya Zaid, Ya Umar, Ya Hassan, for example. But when it comes to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you don't use his blessed name. Instead, use titles. The ulama have written in the tafsir, say Ya Nabi Allah, Ya Habib Allah, Ya Khaira Khalqillah, Ya Rasul Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Use beautiful titles. And alhamdulillah, you will find this, especially in books of Durood Sharif, Salawat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where when sending salat upon the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, the ulama have written so many beautiful titles. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana wa Habibina wa Shafi'ina wa Mawlana Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They've written in their books of Durood Sharif, As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya khayra khalqillah. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya shafi'a al-mudhnibin. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya khayra khalqillah. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya habib Allah. And we should follow this example, that a person who is respectful, who shows reverence, he will never suffer loss, insha'Allah ta'ala. As for the adab of sitting in the court of Rasulullah alayhi wasallam, the etiquette of sitting in the court of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah Azza wa Jal even taught us how to do this as well. In one verse of the Quran, Allah Jalla wa'ala mentions a particular account that took place in the life of the beloved alayhi salam. He got married. He invited some Sahaba for the Walima. Feast was given. And thereafter, the Sahaba did not leave instantly, promptly. They continued sitting. This made the Prophet alayhi salam uncomfortable. He just got married. The Sahaba, they had ate, but they weren't leaving. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam was so bashful, subhanallah, that he himself did not say to the Sahaba, leave. He did not say that. But Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the all-seeing, all-hearing, he wanted the best for his beloved. He knew that his beloved alayhi salam was placed into haraj because of this situation. And he revealed verses of the Quran. And Allah Jalla wa Ala mentioned in that verse that when you have ate, you should leave. And that's when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum left that gathering. meaning anything that causes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam any sort of tension, any sort of hardship, any difficulty, a believer must remain distant from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing how to sit, how long to sit in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. Allahu Akbar. And in another verse of the Quran, Surah Hujurat is so beautiful that there are so many accounts in that surah about the adab of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, showing adab to the best of mankind alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about not raising your voices over the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, or those who believe, la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi. Do not raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a sahabi, it's mentioned in the tafsir of this, that when this verse was revealed, he was hard of hearing and he would speak loudly. He stopped attending the court of the Prophet alayhi wasallam. He thought the verse was about him. Other sahaba thought that the verse was about them. And this particular sahabi who stopped attending the Prophet alayhi wasallam said, "Where is he? How come I don't see him?" And the Prophet alayhi wasallam was informed that this person is fearful that that verse was revealed about him and all his amal are destroyed. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "No, it's not regarding him. Tell him that it's not regarding him." But this was the fear that the sahaba possessed, that they did not want to disrespect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in any single way. And this is why they were so successful, subhanallah. That before everything, they gave priority to the beloved sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. In the very same verse, some people, they would come to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask questions. And at that time, the Prophet alaihi wasallam would be resting or would be in his house. They would begin calling from outside the house. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like this. And he revealed verses of the Quran that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. That indeed those who call you, O beloved, the ones who call you from outside the residence, أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Majority of them do not understand. And then Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا. If they had kept patient until حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ, until you came out towards them yourself, لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. That was better for them. Wallahu ghafoor rahim. Allah is all forgiving, all merciful. So the adab of calling out to the Prophet alayhi salam, here the ummah is being taught, we must wait for the Prophet alayhi salam to himself bless us. We must not try to hasten this situation. Allahu Akbar. So what do we learn? We learn that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam is not like us. He is far greater. He is on a level that we can never comprehend. And we must get this out of our mind that the Prophet alayhi salam was, ma'azallah, an ordinary human being like us. That is not the case. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is better and greater, superior to us in every single way. And one of our pious predecessors, rahimahullah ta'ala, so beautifully said in the Persian language that ba'daz khuda buzurg tuhi qissa mukhtasar. That the one who has the grand status after Allah azza wa jal is you, O beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In a nutshell, that's it. That you are the greatest after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now imagine that, think about that, ponder on that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the master from all creation. Now, just to conclude, a few points about the Sahaba and how they viewed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in what high regard they held him. And to do this, I'd like to quote some parts of Qadi Iyad's famous book, الشفاء بتعريف حقوق المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم. قاضي عياد مالكي رحمة الله عليه is the author of this book. It's a great book. We should try and read it and study it. It has a whole chapter on the adab of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And قاضي عياد مالكي رحمة الله عليه, he says that some Sahaba, they never saw the face of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Meaning if you were to ask them to describe the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, they wouldn't be able to. Why? Because of that awe-inspiring face. So much haybah, jalal on the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they couldn't dare to look at the face. They would keep their heads lowered in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu akbar wa lillahi alhamd. Yes, there were other Sahaba like Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu. They would converse with the Prophet alaihi wasallam and take blessings from his noble countenance, that radiance that would shine from his blessed face. But other Sahaba, Allahu akbar, they could not dare to look at the face of the Prophet alaihi wasallam. And hence why they couldn't describe the shamail. Why? Because they would always have their heads lowered. And one Sahabi, Usama bin Shariq radiallahu ta'ala an, he says that in the gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba, they were like wooden planks, motionless wooden planks. They were so still that it was possible for birds to come and sit on their heads. I mean, that's how motionless they were. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. So attentive, so respectful in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Another account, Sayyiduna Urwa bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala. Prior to becoming Muslim, the Quraysh would send him to various places as a representative of theirs, and he would spy and he would check on various people, leaders, tribes. And they sent him to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, tell us what's going on in his court, what's happening. And he wasn't a Muslim at the time he went, and what he saw, Allahu Akbar, he described it fully when he returned. He said that, I went to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those people, the way they were subservient to him, the way they were respectful to him, Allahu Akbar, he would perform wuzu, and that wuzu water, they would not allow it to drop on the floor. Any water that would fall from his blessed body, if they competed for that water, it'd be like a battle. This is how he describes it. Meaning this is how highly they cherished and valued that leftover water of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Everybody wanted a part of it. When he commands them to do something, they hasten to fulfill that command. They don't delay in that at all. When his blessed hair is cut, again they rush towards gaining that hair as tabarruk, as a form of barakah. Subhanallah. This is who? Sayyiduna Urwa bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He's not a Muslim at that time. And this is what he's just seen in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes back and he tells the Quraysh this. And he says, I've been to the court of Qaisar. I've been to the court of Najashi. I've been to all of these kings. But I have not seen companions respecting their king, their leader, the way the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam respect the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I've not seen that anywhere. Allahu Akbar. This was the adab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the Sahaba maintained. Sayyiduna Urwa bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, it's known that he accepted Islam later on, and he also attained the rank of martyrdom, Shahada. So to wrap up, the khulasa, to summarize, we've learned in this episode that it's not jais to use any word for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which falls into the category of disrespect. Always use respectful words. So respect is key. And this is what the ulama have taught us all along. Let's take, for example, the city of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Madinatul Munawwara, the illuminated city, you know, the city that enlightens others. And it has been doing so for all of these centuries, will continue to do so. What was it called before? Yathrib, place of illness, city of illness, house of illness. Now, today we're not allowed to use the term Yathrib. People still use it. People write poetry, they're uneducated, they're ignorant, they'll use the term Yathrib to refer to Madinatul Munawwara. And they don't know the meaning of Yathrib is the house of illness, the abode of illness. And that was the previous name. Yes, before the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his noble feet in Madinatul Munawwara, yes, it was a difficult place to live. Yes, there was illness there. But when the Prophet alayhi salam came, he supplicated that, Ya Allah, change the direction of this illness, turn it towards Juhfa. And that's what happened. And now today, alhamdulillah, the soil of Medina, there is shifa in that. There is shifa in the soil of Medina. And the scholars have even narrated a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said, whoever calls Medina Yathrib, the expiation, the kafara for that is that he must say Medina 10 times as expiation. So adab is key, adab is very, very important. And look at Imam Dar al-Hijrah, Imam Malik rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. You know, once he had many horses tied outside his house, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, the great Imam Shafi'i saw this, and he exclaimed, he said, what beautiful horses, what fine horses. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi gave everything to Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. He said, take them all. He said, won't you keep one for yourself? Imam Malik said, I feel haya, I feel ashamed in riding upon a horse whose hooves trod on the earth beneath which my beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting. I won't take one. This was his adab. Performed Hajj once, never left Al-Madinatul Munawwara again. He wanted to pass away in Madinatul Munawwara as well. When somebody would come to visit him, he would host them, but when they would come and ask for hadith to be recited, hadith to be taught to them, what would he do? He would say, wait. He would go wear new clothes, perfume himself, sit on a particular type of platform, which is specifically for teaching. Fragrance is emanating everywhere, and then he would mention hadith. This was Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi. These were our imams. These were our leaders who showed us the way. And the way is to respect the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respecting the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leads to such blessings that you cannot attain otherwise. You cannot attain those blessings without respecting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, inshallah ta'ala, alhamdulillah, we'll conclude there. Respect, respect, respect. Adab towards the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah azza wa jalla is teaching that in the Quran. And as believers, we have to follow suit. May Allah give us tawfiq to respect, show reverence and honor the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that on the day of judgment, we are also given honor as well. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Oh, yeah.